and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here. And welcome to anyone who has found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend. So please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit and let's see what the Lord has for us today. I love thinking about God's Word with you. I wish I knew who all of you were. I wish we could sit around and visit and talk about the goodness of God and encourage one another. But for now, it's not how the Lord has it. And so I'm just thankful for this podcast medium, and I'm thankful for each of you who will allow me to share with you what I'm learning as I spend time in God's Word each day. Please know that I continue to pray for all of you, even though I don't know who all of you are. God knows. And I continue to pray that He will draw you closer to Him, that He'll give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional about your time in His Word, that you will realize just the importance of making that a priority, of making an appointment with Him. Oh, friends, His Word is truth. The sum of all of His Word is truth, and we need truth. Our world needs truth. And we talked about just a couple of days ago about laying aside falsehood and speaking the truth with our neighbor. And it's so important. This world says, oh, you could just do your own truth and you could just, whatever feels right, go with it. But friends, there is only one truth that leads to life, only one truth that leads to eternal life, and that is through Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and may we be bold in sharing that. May we be bold in sharing the truth in God's Word in love, speaking the truth in love. And so I just want to encourage you in that. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, and know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. Let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. Well, our verse for the day for April the 27th, 2024, comes from the letter of the Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians. We were just there 2 days ago, written by the Apostle Paul. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Oh, friends. Short verse, big impact. And so I'm excited for us to park here today. I'm excited for us to be reminded about what was going on here and just to think about these things together. So, you know, like I said, we were here 2 days ago, but it's just good for us to think about where we are in the scripture, what was going on, who wrote the book or letter, if we can determine that. Who may have been who he was writing to and what was the purpose and all those things. And so we know that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter because it opens up Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know it's the Apostle Paul. We know his credentials are that he was called to be an apostle, the one appointed to take the good news of the gospel, this wonderful message, and he was called by the will of God. And we know his story. If you've been on this journey with me for very long, we reference it often, but if you're new to this, you can find the story of the Apostle Paul's conversion in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. And if you've not read that recently, go back and pick one of those places and read that. Paul was a Pharisee. He was an opponent of the gospel. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent is how he describes himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And God graciously allowed him to meet Jesus. And he met Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, on the Damascus Road, and it forever changed the course of his life and allowed him to know and to have eternal life, I'm convinced. Not because of his works, but because of his faith and because of God's grace. And so I'm just so thankful for that. But on one of these missionary journeys, after Paul had become a believer and he had changed his ways, on one of these missionary journeys, he went to Ephesus. He had met a husband and wife team named Priscilla and Aquila when he went to Corinth. And after they left Corinth, after he'd been there about 18 months, they went to Ephesus. He left them there for a bit and then came back to Ephesus. And he was in Ephesus for a total of about 3 years, working and teaching and training the folks there. Well, later when he was in prison, he heard about some things that were going on there, and he wrote back this letter reminding them of just some of the wonderful truths of what it means to be a believer in Christ. You know, those false teachers had crept in, and they still do creep in to many gatherings of believers. And so he was writing to, in many of his letters, to warn them about false teachers, to remind them about the truth. And in this letter, he opens up with the wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, and all of the things that we have because we are his. And it's because of this, then, that we want to walk worthy of the calling that we've received. So the first three chapters of Ephesians, he talks about just doctrinal things, things that are true, things that believers need to know. The last three chapters of Ephesians, he really talks about, okay, now that you know these things and you've been reminded about these things, this is how you walk it out in this world. And so I love that about this letter to the Ephesians. It's one of the prison epistles, and that word epistle means letter. It's thought that Paul wrote this letter, the letter to the Philippians, Colossians, and to Philemon from a Roman prison. And it was not his final Roman imprisonment. It's thought that he could come, that he was under house arrest, and that people could come and go during this imprisonment. His final one, when he was writing to Timothy, was right before he was martyred, and he knew that he wasn't going to get out of that one. But these are called the prison epistles, and he cared so much that he wanted to just remind those people of the truth, to counteract much of the false statements that were going around. And so I'm excited for us to park here today. I'm excited for us to continue to study. As I mentioned, we were just here 2 days ago, but this one is so important. And so let's get a little bit more background leading up to our verse for the day. So remember, Paul has just come through these chapters 1-3 and given just so much doctrine, so much foundational truth, that it's only by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not works. That there's a great mystery that has been revealed, and that is that everyone, Jew or non-Jew, can be part of the family of God. And it's not based on your ancestry. It's not based on the social hierarchy. None of that. It's by grace. It's grace from God, and it involves us believing. And so he has very much laid this foundation. He's talked about in that very first chapter about redemption and inheritance and adoption and the receiving of the Holy Spirit and all of these things. And then when he gets to this chapter 4, as I told you, he switches over about practical living, and he says, therefore, I urge you as a prisoner of the Lord to walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. So walk in this way now that you know these things, And one of the ways that he really starts out in this second section is talking about how we treat other believers. How, you know, we know that we're to love our enemies. We know we're to love those and pray for those who persecute us. We know we're to love the world. But sometimes we have the hardest time loving those who are close to us. Often, because that's how sin does, it stems from self, from wanting self to be seen as better, for wanting self to be ahead. And isn't that what causes those little quarrels and squabbles and things among those of us who should be close? And so he's very much talking about the unity in the body of Christ here, because if we are not with him, all of us, and unified, that causes trouble, that causes the house to crumble, so to speak. And so Paul really hammers this home here. And we must be unified in Christ. That's not unified with the world. Now, the world will take this and say, see, you're supposed to, we're supposed to have unity with everybody, and everybody's supposed to be fine with what everybody else is doing. No, this is talking to believers. We are unified under the lordship and the headship of Christ. He is our head. We are the members of the body. And so don't let that old devil deceive you when people come and say, oh, you're not being unified, you're not accepting, you're trying to cause division. Jesus caused division when he came. He separates those who believe in him from those who don't. And so it's very important for us to realize that. But Paul is hammering home this importance, because that's what was happening with those false teachers. They were coming in and stirring up trouble. Think about the letter to the Corinthians, where Paul had heard that there was trouble among them. And some were saying, well, I follow this person, and I follow this person, and I follow Christ. And Paul is saying, you know, there shouldn't be divisions among you. That's very much what he's talking about here. And then he reminds them in toward the middle of chapter 4, because of what Christ has done, we lay aside those old ways, those former ways, the ways that we used to walk, and we put on this new self in Christ, this new redeemed, forgiven, loving self that comes from him. And I don't want you to think when I say we put it on that it's just a mask or something that is just fake. It is truly, we realize what he has done, and he allows us to be made new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, the new things have come. And he talks much about that in his letters, about putting aside our old ways, walking away from our old ways, and walking in this new way. And so part of this new way is how we treat one another, because we are not putting self first. You know, the root of just about all sin is putting self first, putting self above others, putting self above God. And so that's why I think one of the reasons that Jesus gave us the example of his sacrificial love, he didn't have to submit to all of that torture and everything that he did. He was holy. He's God. But he did it as an example. He did it because he loves us, and we are called to do the same thing. He had told his disciples, his apostles, and I'm not sure if there were other disciples in that upper room on that night that he was betrayed. He said, you know, what I'm doing for you, when he washed their feet. And he said, what I'm doing for you, do for others. In other words, you serve others. You don't think highly of yourself. You think, you want to do what's best for others. And so he's getting ready to give us that example of what this looks like. And so, he says in chapter 4, verse 17, Therefore, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. And in this way, he's talking about those who don't know Jesus, those who don't know God, being darkened in their mind, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, to lay aside, in reference to your former conduct, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we did this verse a couple of days ago. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And here's our verse. And do not give the devil an opportunity. You know, it's just so important for us to keep our eyes and our heart and our mind focused on him, and not to give that devil the opportunity. We've talked about this before, but Jesus had mentioned, and John records this in his gospel, about those who were choosing not to follow him. And in not following him, they were making their decision. In not following him, we make our decision that we are following the devil. And some people may say, well, that's an awful strong statement. Well, Jesus said it to that effect. We're either for him, we're either with him, or we're against him. Friendship of the world, a friendship with the world, is enmity with God. And it's not talking about being friends with the people. It's talking about loving the things of the world, the pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, all of those things that the world goes after. And the world lies in the power of the evil one right now. But his time is short, friends, because the Lord is coming back. We don't know what day, but we know it's going to happen. But Jesus had talked to those Pharisees who just could not believe him, and he had told them characteristics of the one that they were following, of the devil. Let me let you hear this. This is in John chapter 8, verse 42. He says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." Jesus laid it right out to them, and he does to us too. If we do not believe him and do not believe his words and are not following him and under his headship, we have gone another way, and we are at risk for doing the works of the devil. And that may seem very strong. You may say, well, that's offensive. You know, I'm a good person. I try to do the right thing. Friends, no one of us is good except God alone. Any good we have only comes from him in us. And that is so important for us to realize. It's lest we become prideful. And remember how Paul, back to our verse for the day, he had just talked about speaking the truth, every one of us, to our neighbor, because we are in that new man. We have been created in the likeness of him, in verse 24, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we speak the truth. We lay aside the falsehood. We speak the truth with our neighbor. And if we become angry, because it's not a sin to be angry, but it's a sin to sin in that anger. He's saying, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. That devil, who is the father of lies, who is going to put self first, will come in and say, oh, you deserve this. You deserve revenge. You deserve justice. You deserve what is coming to you. You deserve to get the something better than this person because look at what they've done. Friends, in the big scheme of things, all of us deserve death. We are all sinners. The wages of sin is death. All of us, our actions, our sins, our attitudes is what caused Jesus to have to be placed on that cross. And so we don't deserve anything but death. But God, in His grace and His mercy and His love and His forgiveness, allowed His Son, whom He loved so much, to come to this earth and take that penalty and that punishment for us. And so we don't want to give the devil an opportunity, that we don't want to give, some scriptures say, a foothold to stake his claim on that property. That's what that opportunity means. We don't want to give him that. And so how do we keep, how do we stop him from gaining control when things seem to not be going well? And we think we see our flesh rising up and we see that we think we deserve this, that, or the other. We must keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds stayed on him. How do we do that? We stay in the word. I've hidden your word in my heart. Psalm 119 says, excuse me, that I might not sin against you. That's how we do it. We must abide in his word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he gave us that commandment to love one another. So does that mean we affirm and agree with something that is sinful? No, but we love by speaking the truth. We love by forgiving. We love by serving. We love by honoring God and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit above all. We honor him by not quenching that spirit that he's given us and by walking in spirit, by walking in the truth, by keeping our eyes and our hearts and our minds stayed on him. You keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on you. And so may we do that. May we not give that devil that foothold, that stake of the property. May we just keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds stayed on him. Jesus has won the victory. Jesus has won the war. He has defeated death and hell and sin in the grave. It's an already not yet sort of thing. It's happened. We, though, are still on this earth, and the devil has full reign right now, and there's much difficulty because of the sin in the world. But there's a day coming when all will be made right and all will be well, as we talked about yesterday. So trust him. Keep your heart and your mind stayed on him. Be in the words, in his word, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're hiding his word, spending time in his word, that's what we're filling our hearts and minds with. That's what will come forth from us only by the grace of God and by the help of his Holy Spirit. I encourage you today. You can do this with God's help. Just be in the word. Read God's word. Study God's word. Live it out and share it. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.